fire and occasionally very, very large explosions indeed. Just looking at the list of munitions recorded by the Ukrainians, they say that 36 cruise missiles were among the weapons that were used, along with drones and ballistic missiles.
The Wall Street rally rolls on, the Dow up 459 points, the Nasdaq is ahead 257, the S&P is trading 65 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher, host of the Mike Gallagher Show here, and when it comes to mortgages, I only trust the team that's helped me and my family more than once, Mike and Brian at Fellowship Home Loans. These guys are friends, believers. They built a company on biblical values that actually puts you first. In today's economy, with everything costing more, you need a lender who can help you make smart, strategic moves when it comes to real estate. Need cash for home improvements? Thinking about a HELOC or a refi to consolidate debt? Well, Fellowship Home Loans can help you do it faster and for less. Why? Because they're a direct lender, not a broker, no middleman. No unnecessary fees. That means fewer hoops, less waiting, and real answers from real people who care. Whether you're buying, selling, refinancing, or just exploring your options, Fellowship Home Loans will tailor everything to your unique needs. Get started at fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG. fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG or call 800-510-MIKE, 800-510-6453. Fellowship Home Loans, mortgage lending by the book.
Nationwide Mortgage Bankers, DBA Fellowship Home Loans, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 819382.
Good morning. It's 11:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Maryland's six casinos generated more than $176 million in revenue in May from slots and table games. In May, up by 1.9% over May of 2024. The May contributions included nearly $55 million for the Education Trust Fund, an increase of $1.2 million over last year. MGM National Harbor and PG County posted the highest revenue at just over $75 million. The Rocky Gap Casino in Allegheny County was the only venue reporting a slight drop in revenue. The fuel spill cleanup continues in Baltimore's Harbor East community. 2,000 gallons of fuel leaked from a Johns Hopkins Hospital facility on Wednesday that flowed into the harbor and turned the water red because of an additive. The water no longer looks red. However, there is a sheen on the surface along with the odor of fuel. Four contract companies have been working with local, state, and federal agencies to clean up the spill, and that work is expected to continue throughout the day. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
WCBM News is brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Call Rod Barrowy at 410-266-1120. Call Rod Barrowy now at Safe Retirement Solutions, 410-266-1120.
Is your home ready for the season ahead? At Metropolitan Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, we've been keeping Maryland comfortable for over 32 years. From boilers to ductless mini splits, repairs, replacements, and custom ductwork, we do it all. We offer a $69 AC checkup. Also right now, mention WCBM and get $500 off a brand new heating or air conditioning system. Call us today at 410-902-9600. 410-902-9600. We're licensed, insured, and proud to hold a BBB A+ rating. Metropolitan Plumbing, where comfort meets craftsmanship.
Hot weather means your home works harder to stay cool. BGE can help with a variety of options like budget billing, My Account, and energy efficiency programs. Learn more at bge.com/summer.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
So it's on to Sacramento for an Oriole team that all of a sudden, along with the Blue Jays, are the hottest teams in the American League. In fact, only the Cubs have a better record in their last 10 games. The latest installment was yesterday in Seattle.
All year long, you know. Henderson making a bid. Tavares back at the wall. And the O's have gone back to back.
Ben Wagner and the Hall of Famer Jim Palmer with the call on Masson. Henderson's round tripper followed a two-run shot by Adley Rutschman that tied the game. And Gunnar's shot stood up as the surging Birds notched their sixth in a row and ninth in their last 11. 4-3 over Seattle. Ravens conclude their second week of voluntary OTAs today. Baltimore signing receiver Rashad Bateman to a three-year extension yesterday. The Ravens now with perhaps the best collection of receivers they've ever had. Here's Bateman on what he'd like to pick up from a guy like DeAndre Hopkins.
I'm ready to ask him anything, you know, as far as, you know, catching, hands, route running, body, taking care of your body, what you do.
Coming up in 30 minutes, finding value at the Belmont. And that is Stein on Sports.
Is your wear and carry permit about to expire? Don't wait until it's too late. At Free State Gun Range, we offer initial and renewal courses to keep you prepared and protected. Our certification is valid for 2 years, so you can be confident you're up to date and ready to go. Whether you're renewing or starting fresh, our expert instructors provide hands-on, top-notch training. Lock in your training now before prices go up. Secure your spot today. Your safety depends on it. Call Free State Gun Range now.
At 11:06, here's the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast.
From the Fox 45 Weather Authority team, I'm meteorologist Justin Chambers. We'll stay warm and muggy for your Friday afternoon with temps in the low to mid 80s. Watch for a few showers developing late Friday afternoon into the evening time. More rain showers and storms on Saturday and Sunday as well, with temperatures going down. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Justin Chambers for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
It's 77 degrees in Bel Air, 82 in Halethorpe, and 81 in Columbia. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Plasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I am Andrew Langer, in for Kim Klasick today. So glad I could join you on this Friday in June. We got a poll out there. I'll do the final poll later on. I think we're going to put a pin in the Musk versus Trump feud right now. But the poll is out there on the WCBM website. Are you Team Trump or Team Elon right now, guys? I mean, it's overwhelming. There's no two ways around it. The listeners right now, Team Elon, 71% to 29% for Team Trump. That's better than 2-1. That's 80%, right? If I'm doing it again, never do math on the air. No, it's 71%, obviously. It literally just said this. Never do math on the air. Reading what's in front of me, guys. This is the problem that I have today. Hi, you can always find me. If you like what you hear, I'll tease this at the end of the hour. If you like what you hear, what I'm doing here now, you know, I do a podcast, weekly podcast for the Federal Newswire called The Lunch Hour, deep dive into public policy. Always fun stuff. This past week, on Monday, I sat down with Leslie Knight. She's a retired Air Force colonel, talking about DEI and meritocracy and healthcare issues, because she's a family physician. And then this coming Monday, Donald Cochin, who is a law professor, George Mason, I sat down with him. We talked property rights and a bunch of other things. So go and check that out. My CPAC work. You can follow me. All my stuff is available on Twitter, on X, at Andrew_Langer. You could also message me on Facebook, facebook.com/Andrew Langer Show. You know something? In fact, Dave writes, thanks for the mention. Yeah. Yes, I do work a lot of overtime, mainly because I started over and took such a huge pay cut. I think it's a good idea in theory, but it's taxpayer money that is paid out that will not be taxed. The local government will be against it, as taxes paid on government salaries and overtime are a rebate back to that local government. See, I don't like that. I think that if you're a government employee, you know, that's another reason why things should be exempt. It's otherwise it becomes a massive money laundering scheme. He writes, luckily, my agency is a very high quality one, tops in the nation, and we are not short on police and not forced to work overtime. All of our OT is event based. That's great. I appreciate that, Dave. Thank you. You stay safe out there, my friend. Scott asks, will I be attending the Chuck Roast? I'm hoping to. I need to work on the schedule. You know something, and I'm sorry I missed this. I should have asked about Joel. Joel, I think Joel Cola is still out there, Scott. I just don't think it is quite as widely available. You know something, at the commercial, I'm going to go and look at that. In the meantime, we started talking about KJP. You down with KJP? Yeah, you know me. Corinne Jean-Pierre, she's got this book out. She's claiming she's an independent. She's identifying folks as an independent. We all know what happens when Democrats identify as things that they are not. But obviously she has stepped in it. There's commentary Here is Peter Ducey. He really nails down the problem with it. Let's play cut number 16.
You know, it's like I had a dream and I opened up the first page of her book about the broken White House. And the first sentence says, Peter Ducey told me. And I didn't listen to him.
That is a dream.
It is true.
But she should dedicate the book to you.
And I know we're going to talk about this next hour, but the thing about this book is that she, towards the end, after Biden dropped out, she would say that legitimate questions were misinformation. And I told her once, you can't just call something that you don't like misinformation. And so I don't know how she is going to square being the public face of saying things that we now know were not true about the president and about policies. I don't know how she's now going to come out and say, you know what, just because I swore on camera
right.
that things were okay. Mm-hmm. Actually, here's what was really going on.
Thanks, Peter. I just wanted you to get to
that. There we go. And he's not wrong at all. About this, that nails it. Someone who was watching her. By the way, the answer to the question, Scott, is yes, Jolt Cola is back. It's back as a high-performance energy drink being made by some group called Redcon One. I'll put the link up at my on my Twitter page. But yeah, it's back. Redcon One, a leader in the sports nutrition industry, and set to reintroduce a cherished favorite. This is from October of 24. So it's out there. I don't know how you find it. Trace Gallagher on Fox also said it best with regards to KJP. Let's play cut number 17.
Karine Jean-Pierre has decided to leave the Democrat Party and become an independent to, quote, not be so partisan, which is saying something considering she was among the most partisan press secretaries ever. She towed the party line through thick and thin, meaning when information was thin, she laid it on thick. And now she says, we're in a, quote, era of misinformation and disinformation. That statement coming from the queen of disinformation, who after Biden's disastrous debate said he was, quote, as sharp as ever, and that, quote, I can't even keep up with him. Although she was able to keep up with gaslighting, from liability-laden laptops to communist connections to cognitive cover-ups, Karine Jean-Pierre told it like it wasn't, even accusing Fox News of using cheap fake videos to show Biden's rapid decline. And it turns out the former gatekeeper of disinformation is now writing a book that promises to give us an inside look at Biden's broken White House. In other words, she's writing a tell-all to tell us that what she told us is not true. Common sense thinks she could have teamed up with Tapper and written one book
right.
called You Can't Hide Your Lion Eyes.
There you go. Oh, yes. Or an Eagle song, for that matter. So that's important here. Listen, on this issue, Newsbusters put together a really great supercut of Karine Jean-Pierre lying to cover up Joe Biden. Let's play cut number 18.
So I'll say this. The president has been very clear, you know.
As you know, the president has been very clear, very clear, very, very clear.
We need more money to plan for the second pandemic.
He's been very clear.
There's going to be another pandemic.
The president is doing what the president is.
That's why I and so damn many other people I grew up have cancer.
These are items that the president has been very clear on.
Oh, end of quote. Repeat the line.
And so the president has been very clear. The president has been very clear.
I was going to foot him. Excuse me.
The president has been very clear.
Like a billion, 200 million.
737,730. Very, very clear.
All you got to do is look what is being played this morning.
Look, the president has been very clear.
But is he going to specify exactly?
No, but he has.
The best way to get something done, if you hold near and dear to you that you like to be able to, anyway.
There you go. The president's been very clear. Listen, when we come back, someone who is, in fact, very clear and clearly needed and doing a great job is Robert Bolin, the National Ombudsman for Small Business. He is going to be joining us. I'm Andrew Langer. This is WCBM AM 680.
Hello, I am Italo Liberatore, owner and operator of Liberatore's Ristorante of Bel Air, inviting you to come and see us again and try some of our everyday and weekend specials made by our new chef, Cody. You love the new touch and the creation he brings to our dishes. Makes me hungry just thinking about it. See you soon. Visit us at the Liberatore's of Bel Air and online at Liberatore's.com. Liberatore's.com.
Custom home builders and remodelers find Jarvis Appliance in Jarrettsville so dependable and easy to work with that Jarvis has become the go-to supplier for builders throughout Maryland and Pennsylvania. They provide appliances on time, within budget, and at the right price. Remember, if it cools, freezes, washes, dries, or bakes, sizzles, or air fries, you'll find it all at Jarvis. Go to JarvisAppliance.com. That's JarvisAppliance.com. Jarvis Appliance in Jarrettsville.
Why do we refinance our homes? To lower our mortgage payments, consolidate debt, and make life more affordable. Did you know a reverse mortgage is just another refinance? But this time, instead of lowering your payment, you're eliminating it. Stop making mortgage payments and put that money back in your pocket each month where it belongs. Call me, Mark McVeary, 410-788-7070. That's 410-788-7070.
Red Eye Radio is live.
Gary and Eric, the way you so beautifully express your anger and frustration, you serve like a substitute relief valve for my own anger and frustration and outrage.
Gary McNamara and Eric Harley take your calls all night. Politics, breaking news, and more on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio is on every morning from 1 to 5 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
We are back. Eminence frontman, it's a put-on. It's a put-on. Anyway, we're here. I'm Andrew Langer, in for Kim Klasick today. Really excited to bring our guest on. So y'all know we had a conversation yesterday with Jocelyn Castillo from the National Federation of Independent Business. I'm an NFIB alumnus and have been working with this office for many, many years, the Office of the National Ombudsman for Small Business. And as I've said, there are three offices within the federal government that are absolutely essential in terms of getting at regulatory reform. The Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs at OIRA, I'm the OIRA administrator, the Office of Advocacy at the SBA, and the Chief Counsel for Advocacy, and then the Office of the National Ombudsman for Small Business and the National Ombudsman himself. In the current administration, the National Ombudsman is a gentleman named Robert Bolin. So glad he could join us. Robert, why don't you take a minute and explain to us all what the ONO, the National Ombudsman's Office, does.
Andrew, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's always great to talk with you.
Thanks.
So the National Ombudsman was created by statute. It's part of the Small Business Regulatory Enforcement Fairness Act of 96. And it empowers the National Ombudsman to work across the entire federal government to protect small entities. And that could be a school district, a city, a county, any nonprofit, any small business. And small businesses, as you know, can actually be pretty big.
Right.
So it protects them from regulatory overreach by the whole federal government. And that could be excessive enforcement, it could be uneven enforcement, or it could be enforcement that just raises a question of, should this regulation exist? So where the tires hit the pavement, that's where we come in, and we focus on the enforcement. Historically, that's been viewed in a pretty narrow perspective, investigations, audits, fines, but we've gone back in the last month to the original documents authorizing this office, and we've been very excited to see it actually applies to any communication from a federal agency with the capacity to regulate a small entity to that small entity. And we've been very excited to meet with our partner agencies across the whole federal government, talk with them about how they can make sure all of their notices, all of their inquiries, audits, inspections, fines, everything can be SBRIFA compliant.
Yeah.
And that's what we've been working on so far. It's been very exciting. And we've got some great changes ahead for our annual report, which is going to be the 2025 report is going to be very distinct from reports of the past. So, you know,
go ahead. No, go ahead. All right. So you know, let's go here, because one of the things that has been done consistently over the years, some more consistently than others, is the regulatory fairness process. And in a state like Maryland, where folks are overregulated as it is, obviously we're talking about federal regulations here. Talk about the reg fair process, why that's important, and how folks, what folks ought to know, and how they can get involved when they have concerns about regulatory agencies in Maryland. I mean, federal regulatory agencies, but they happen to be a small business in Maryland or a small entity in Maryland.
Yeah, there are a lot of resources we offer to empower those small entities. There are a few ways to reach our office from the comfort of your home, comfort of your business, your organization. We've got ombudsman@sba.gov. We've got our webpage on the SBA website. We also have a hotline, and I've got a hat with this on it. I wear it constantly. It's 888-REG-FAIR. And if you call that phone number and you say, hey, I've had this concern with a federal agency, I'd like you to look into it, someone from my team is going to assign it to a case manager. They're going to request a high-level review of that action from the agency. In many cases, I talk directly with the head of that agency and sort out whatever that issue may be.
Essentially, Robert, your office is like an inspector general writ large, right? It's one of these situations where it takes it away from the agency. You're independent of that particular agency. And so if some kind of an inspector from a regulatory enforcement agency shows up and you believe that you're being treated unfairly, your office is the one that folks would go to file a complaint. You guys do field hearings, and talk about some of the successes, if you want to, if you can, talk about some of the successes the office has had and where you are going with all of this.
Yeah. So I want to go back to a second for the field hearings. So that's
Please.
Another great way to get in touch with our office. We're going to be doing a lot more hearings, going forward. Over the next year and a half, we're going to start that back up. And those are required by statute. So we go into the field, we meet with small businesses. We can meet either focusing on a region and their concerns, or we can focus on a particular industry. So we're going to be doing a very cool hearing coming up with the Mine Health and Safety Administration. It's going to be at their training facility in West Virginia. We just met with the Department of the Interior this morning about involving them and their team at the Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement. We're also going to be bringing the Department of Energy in there. And so small entities can go to these hearings. They can meet directly with leadership from these agencies, and they can put on the record their concerns. We go through these concerns. We follow up with agencies, and we work to change the way these regulations are enforced in a practical and efficient manner. And one thing I want to highlight, when someone submits a concern to an inspector general, they may never hear back.
Right.
If someone submits a comment to the National Ombudsman, not only will they hear back immediately, we will hear from the federal agency within 30 days.
Right.
We've got a great example from OSHA, where a factory that makes welded wire was written up for some reason as being an amputation risk. And that's the Department of Labor's program. It's the National Emphasis Program on Amputations. There is absolutely no way you could suffer an amputation in a welded wire factory like this one.
Right.
And so they reached out to OSHA, and they said, hey, this label, this isn't applicable. What's going on? Never heard back. Their insurance went up. People were scared to work for them because they're saying, do I really want to work in such a dangerous place? And for years, they had this issue. They reached out to us 19 days later. OSHA found the mistake, corrected it, and we notified the small business owner. Does that give some idea of how quickly and how effectively we work with partner agencies?
Absolutely, and it underscores the vital nature of the work that you guys are doing. I mean, and not only that, but also the vital nature of the Small Business Regulatory Enforcement Fairness Act and the passage of that, you know, more than 30 years or about 30 years ago, and the durability of it and the lasting importance of it. You know, the work that you guys are doing, and when this office is taken seriously by a White House and utilized properly, it has such a sweeping impact and importance. So what's next for the Office of the National Ombudsman? What are you guys looking at down the road?
So we're going to have a number of hearings on specific industries,
right?
And we're going to, instead of having those here at headquarters where they've been in the past, we're going out in the field. We're doing that great hearing on mining in West Virginia. We're also looking at Louisiana for a hearing together with Immigration Customs Enforcement. I had a wonderful meeting with Todd Lyons over there, who's the director, and there's this incredible interest to work together to better understand what the concerns small entities have are and how they can be addressed. I have found that, by and large, federal agencies want to accommodate small entities. They're required to by law, but they also have a genuine desire to do so. And so I've made 26 local trips meeting with each agency head, and we have found across the board people are excited about outreach. So we're going to see a lot more outreach, a lot more partnerships with other agencies. But we're also going to have a significantly shorter annual report that's more reflective of the effort put in by each agency. And if I could highlight one example.
Please.
The Nuclear Regulatory Commission historically does not get a good grade from us. And that is because we look at where the notification on their website falls, where the non-retaliation policy falls, et cetera. And because they update their website so frequently, it falls lower and lower to the website each time. They have an incredible director of small business, Tony Briggs, who created this far-reaching system where small businesses register, they get specific guidance on how they can work with the federal government as contractors, and then they're put directly in front of parts of the federal government that could use their service. And then on the other side of it, they provide an accountability to federal agencies that we've never seen before, where if you have an issue with the small business work product, they will bring in a different small business to meet your needs. So he created this incredible program that's been very beneficial for small businesses. They also offer extensive information to any small business with a specific question. And that's something called SBRIFA 213 compliance, 213. Mm. And that's not highlighted because our current annual report, none of our annual reports through history actually, have rated agencies on 213 compliance. So boots on the ground, if they're helping
Amazing.
Small businesses everywhere, they should get rated on that, and we're going to start doing that.
Well, listen, Robert, we have to leave it there. How do folks find out more about the good work you guys are doing at the Office of National Ombudsman?
SBA's website is the best way to find our resources, but if you ever think you could have a complaint for the Small Business Ombudsman, reach out to 888-REG-FAIR, and we will
888-REGFAIR, Robert Boland, the National Ombudsman for Small Business. Thank you so very much for joining us today.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, we're going to have a much more detailed, lengthy conversation with Robert Boland, hopefully in the next few months, on the Lunch Hour podcast. But go and watch what they're up to, really doing some great work. And their work is going to be essential in ongoing regulatory reform efforts. When we come back, we got Shankar Singham from the Growth Commission. He's going to be joining us talking about economics. I am Andrew Langer. This is WCBM AM 680.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump calls the latest employment numbers great, and the stock market agrees. The Dow, NASDAQ, and the S&P all up sharply this morning on word that America's employers created 139,000 jobs last month, 38,000 fewer than April, but still more than expected. The unemployment rate is holding at 4.2%. President Trump is defending his budget and tax cut bill, which one-time ally Elon Musk has called an abomination. Mr. Trump says the bill cuts taxes as well as spending. Ukraine says Russia has unleashed one of the largest aerial attacks of the war, missiles and drones raining down on the capital Kiev and a half dozen other regions. And the suspect in Sunday's anti-Semitic terror attack in Boulder, Colorado, is due in court today to face a federal hate crime charge. More details, srnnews.com.
The hottest months of the year are also the most dangerous, not just because of heat waves or storms, but because they stress the power grid to the limit. That's why My Patriot Supply created the Grid Doctor 3300 solar generator. It delivers 3,300 watts of power, enough to run fridges, freezers, power tools, and more, all without gas, noise, or fumes, using free energy from the sun. And for a limited time, when you order a Grid Doctor 3300, you'll get two free 200-watt waterproof solar panels, a bonus worth $894. To claim your free panels before this offer ends, shop MyPatriotSupply.com/radio. Whether it's summer blackouts, hurricanes, or just peace of mind in uncertain times, the Grid Doctor Solar Generator has your back. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com/radio, MyPatriotSupply.com/radio, and secure your Grid Doctor 3300 with two free solar panels today.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Timely hitting for sure, but the story behind the Birds' recent surge is definitely the pitching.
Two outs, bottom of the ninth inning.
Swing and a miss to finish the ball game and cap off a three-game series sweep in the Emerald City.
Ben Wagner with the final call on yesterday's 4-3 Baltimore win over Seattle. A second straight sweep for the Birds, who've won 9 of their last 11, with the O's staff allowing 2.45 runs per game. Yesterday's starter, Zach Eflin, went 6, got the win, asked if the team now has a chance to do what most think is impossible.
I wouldn't say I see it now. I saw it at the beginning of the year, and I saw it last year, the year before that. You know, the core nucleus of guys have always been here. They know how to win. They know how to go out and play and have fun.
Ravens news, team signing wide receiver Rashad Bateman to a contract extension. At the same time, general manager Eric DaCosta also talking about preliminary negotiations with Lamar.
We've had some conversations for the draft, after the draft, in person last week. I think we're in the introductory sort of stage of looking at what an extension might look like.
And finally, the Belmont Stakes back at Saratoga. Rain in the forecast both today and tomorrow. Preakness winner Journalism the favorite at 8-5. Derby winner Sovereignty at 2-1. But if you're looking for value, how about two well-rested horses? Baeza at 4-1, finished third in the Derby, didn't run the Preakness. And Rodriguez at 6-1, trained by Bob Baffert. A foot bruise kept him out of both the Derby and the Preakness. He hasn't run since April. Hall of Fame rider Mike Smith will be on board. Coming up in 30 minutes, just how many buzzer beaters can a guy hit? And that is Stein on Sports.
Looking for a fun, family-friendly day out? Visit the Pennsylvania Dutch Market in Cockeysville, your one-stop destination for authentic Amish food, friendly faces, and over 20 stalls filled with handcrafted goods. Enjoy fresh flowers, fruits, veggies, and the best seafood and meats around, plus sweet treats baked fresh daily. The smell will draw you in, and the experience will keep you coming back. Open Thursday and Friday 9 to 6 and Saturday 8 to 4. The Pennsylvania Dutch Market. So much to see, smell, and savor.
From the Fox 45 Weather Authority team, I'm meteorologist Justin Chambers. We'll see temperatures that will be well into the low and mid-80s for the afternoon. Another warm and muggy one for your Friday. Watch for a few showers and a couple of thunderstorms developing late Friday afternoon into Friday evening. Rain starts Saturday morning and then off and on showers for most of the day, with more storms Saturday afternoon and Sunday as well. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Justin Chambers for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hot weather means your home works harder to stay cool. BGE can help with a variety of options like budget billing, iAccount, and energy efficiency programs. Learn more at bge.com/summer. That's bge.com/summer.
Protect your liver and give it the support that it deserves with Active Liver from New Nordic. Find in stores at your local CVS, Meijer Grocery, or Amazon, or newnordicusa.com.
The excitement of Orioles season is here. Get updates, information, and commentary from Stan the Fan Charles and others at PressBoxOnline.com. PressBox Sports, your source for Orioles, Ravens, college, and high school sports. Go to PressBoxOnline.com. From Bel Air to Glen Burnie to Fort McHenry and the Star Spangled Banner, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. I am Andrew Langer in for Kim Klasick today. We're going to be doing in a couple of minutes our tribute to D-Day. Love to get your thoughts on this. In the meantime, very excited to bring on our guest. I had the opportunity to interview him for the Lunch Hour podcast. That interview is going to be coming out in the next few weeks. His name is Shankar Singham. He is the chairman of the Growth Commission, which is this international organization looking at trade relationships and regulation. And, you know, it's interesting, Shankar. One of the things that you and I were talking about was the issue, very briefly we talked about the issue of quangos, quasi-NGOs that had certainly enormous power, still have enormous power in the UK. We are only now looking at the impact of NGOs on both the regulatory process in terms of driving regulations here in the United States, but we're seeing these quasi-NGOs and how they are interfering with our trade policy. Talk about that and what's been happening this week with Donald Trump trying to take a more aggressive approach on trade relationships and courts interfering in all of this.
Yeah, well, hi, Andrew.
And hi.
Obviously, there's a lot in that question.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I think if you look at what's been happening, I think if you look at the Trump tariff and what he's trying to do, essentially what's happened is he, you know, the U.S. has put on a tariff on a number of countries, recognizing that these countries have lots and lots of trade barriers and distortions of their markets and regulatory barriers that prevent U.S. producers succeeding in those countries. And we haven't been able to do very much about any of those in the last 30, 40 years. So there needs to be a reset in that way, and this is what he has done. And the hope is, of course, that they will do deals, and those deals will lead to the barriers going down and the tariffs going down, and then everybody wins and the economy grows and so forth. You have to differentiate, I think, between, you know, what is a legitimate exercise of you know, the third branch of government and the judicial process.
Right.
That is legitimate, and that's fine, and that'll work out in the way that it will work out. You talked about these sort of arm's length bodies or independent commissions or whatever they, you know, happen to be, that also intervene in these processes. And I think the danger here is that, you know, a number of these bodies are independent in the sense that they are independent of, they're supposed to be independent of the government, and therefore they aren't subject to political pressure. The problem is a lot of these bodies, and we saw this in the UK very much, a lot of these bodies are independent of the people, you know, who elected the government. So,
right.
You know, that type of independence is not actually a good thing. And what tends to happen is they're not actually independent because they tend to be captured by very powerful interests that benefit from the distortions that exist. So if you have a regulatory barrier or a distortion in the U.S. Market that benefits a particular powerful, you know, incumbent interest, you know, that interest will capture the regulators and will make sure,
right,
that nothing changes, you know, that is not improved. And you have a lot of these bodies, not just in the US and the UK, but you have them all over the world. And they will seek to try to prevent the kind of reform, you know, that is potentially on the table here.
So I know, obviously, we've talked about this, the shocks to the market from the imposition of tariffs, and we talk about market volatility. But there's a real danger if the executive branch is not able to push its foreign policy, its foreign economic policy, otherwise known as trade policy, if it's constantly getting undercut by the judicial branch, that also has negative consequences for the economy overall, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I mean, one of the things that is sort of axiomatic in the U.S. system is that the president, the executive branch, is the branch that's responsible for for foreign policy, for you know, responding to emergencies, responding to geopolitical events, you know, this sort of thing. And you can't have the executive branch, the president, being second-guessed all the time when he's executing that policy. And one of the things about trade policy that's interesting is, you know, most people look at trade policy and they think it's all commercial. It's about, you know, tariffs. You know, it's a revenue-raising issue. Therefore, it should be the Congress that does that. And there's some reason behind that. But you have to also remember that trade policy is also foreign policy.
Right.
And trade policy is a subset of foreign policy. And I expect the Supreme Court, when it looks at the sort of emergency powers authority of the president, will have to think about arguments like, you know, foreign trade policy is about much more than just commercial tariffs. Tariffs are being used here to affect a particular foreign policy, to do things like align countries that have hitherto, you know, up to this point, they have not had to make a choice about whose side they're on. I'm thinking of countries like India that do a lot of, you know, stuff with Russians, need to make a choice about where they are. And a lot of what's happening with the Trump trade policy is about aligning countries in that way, which is fully
right
in the foreign policy area. And you shouldn't prevent the president or the executive branch from using every tool that they can to affect that foreign policy. And one of the things that Jameson Greer, the USTR, said just before the Court of International Trade ruled against the use of the emergency economic power for the president, was that, you know, this will severely damage the U.S.'s ability to negotiate the deals that we're talking about.
Right.
Because essentially other countries will look at the courts of the U.S. and they'll say, well, we don't need to do a deal with the U.S. because the courts are going to rule out, you know, the president's ability to negotiate or to charge these tariffs. Oh, so there's no threat to us, so we don't need to negotiate. So the Supreme Court's going to have to deal with all of these different issues. But I would point out that even if this is determined to be outside the emergency powers of the president, there are many, many other things that he can do, many other authorities that he can use to affect similar results. So
right.
Obviously you've got the national security tariffs on steel and aluminium. But there's also there's a couple of other provisions of the Trade Act, Section 301 and Section 337. Which are basically focused on unfair competition, intellectual property violations, and trade barriers. So combination of those things could be used to do what the president needs to do. So people shouldn't be thinking that there'll be a big headline if the Supreme Court does eventually say that, you know, it's outside of the president's powers. That does not mean that's the end of the story. And trading partners in the
right.
U.S. should also think, you know, they should not think that's the end of the story, because you can simply use other powers to do this. And in fact, the 337 power is even more powerful than any of the others. That allows him to do a complete import ban, not just a tariff. So
right.
So there's plenty of things that he can do. But the critical thing is, you know, we have a time issue here. The tariff pause ends on July the 9th. That creates a lot of pressure.
Sure.
As we get closer to July the 9th, on countries to actually do deals and not face these increased tariffs. You know, from the president's standpoint, you know, he wants to make sure that those countries feel under maximum pressure, and that nothing should sort of take the lid off the pressure cooker here and let the steam escape. You want to compress them so that they then have to do deals. And a lot of deals get done, especially in the trade area. And the president's, you know, he's quite good at doing deals, and this is something he no doubt will do, is wait until the last possible moment, and that's when, you know, deals start to come, you know, exponentially at that point.
You know, it's so funny because I'm now going back and looking through. I talked about the issue of folks letting the oxygen out of the room, you know, during the first Trump term to undercut him, and I got to go back and revisit that. You know, the other thing that occurred to me was, imagine if, as we were trying to prosecute World War II and trying to get Great Britain the resources it needed to stave off an invasion from Germany. Imagine if the courts had intervened at the time and ruled that we couldn't do this. I mean, that would have been absurd. Before I let you go, Shankar, and we're talking with Shankar Singham, he's the chairman of the Growth Commission. Tell us about the Growth Commission. How do folks find out more about the good work you guys are doing?
Yeah, well, the Growth Commission was established to basically look at the countries like the US and the UK, the big G7 countries that had not been growing, their economies had not been growing for really the last 20, 25 years. So our focus was, you know, what are the policies you need to do in terms of trade, in terms of regulatory reform, property rights protection, those kinds of things that would actually grow the economy. And we make recommendations to governments around the world. We've done it with the US, the UK, Japan, etc. You can find more information on www.growth-commission.com, and there's all our reports and so forth. You know, you can find them. You can find them there, and those are the kinds of recommendations we're making to those countries. And we're doing something on the EU actually in Brussels in the fall. As many of your listeners will know, the EU has a highly regulated market, lots of barriers to US producers, and interestingly, those barriers to US producers are also slowing down the European Union's own economy. So quite often, these barriers are not only bad for US companies trying to access these markets, they're also bad for the countries that actually do them in the first place. So we want to highlight that, and we'll be doing that in Brussels in the fall.
That is fantastic. Well, Shankar Singham, thank you so very much for joining us today.
Great. Thanks very much, Andrew.
Take care. That's Shankar Singham. He is the chairman of the Growth Commission. Go and check them out online. When we come back, we're going to be talking D-Day, as today is the anniversary of the invasion. I am Andrew Langer. This is WCBM AM 680.
Hey, attention, Maryland business owners. Did you know that you've been paying into a program that can upgrade your lighting for free? Now, it's called Empower Maryland, and if you don't use it, you lose it. Now, every month, your electric bill includes a small charge that funds energy-saving upgrades, and now you can claim your share to replace any bulb or fixture with new energy-efficient LED fixtures at zero cost to you. Here's how it works. If we can reduce your energy use by 30% or more, you qualify for a 100% free lighting upgrade, whether you own an office, a church, or even a government building. And these LEDs, they last up to 20 years. Now, last year alone, we completed 424 projects, saving Maryland businesses thousands of dollars. So don't miss out. Call now, 855-4-FREE-LED. Call now, 855-4-FREE-LED. No job is too big or too small. Call now. Start saving today.
Hot weather means your home works harder to stay cool. BGE can help with a variety of options like budget billing, My Account, and energy efficiency programs. Learn more at bge.com/summer.
The Rob Carson Show.
Hey, guys, it's Carson. Tomorrow is Friday.
Thank God it's Friday.
Trump says he's spoken to Chairman Xi of China. Things went well. That's good. 84% of Americans are on board with Trump saying no nukes for you to Iran. I'd say that's kind of a mandate. Plus, Mary Walter and Daily Signal's Tony Kinnett. Don't miss it.
The Rob Carson Show, weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Hear the news, then talk about it at the top and bottom of every hour throughout the day. Breaking news, stimulating talk, only on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
We are back. I am Andrew Langer in for Tony. In for Tony Katz. It's so funny. I just got a thing from Tony. In for Kim Klasick here on WCBM. Tony had wanted me to fill in for him today, and I was with you guys, so I was not going to do it. So before we start talking about D-Day, I want to talk a little bit about, as I said, I have these two podcasts that are up talking about DEI and the military and the impact on the military, and the two go hand in hand, you know, with this D-Day commemoration and sort of people coming together. What happens when you inject a lot of ideological nonsense into military service? Well, folks don't want to serve. And we're hitting a point where numbers are recruiting numbers are back. And I say this because there was a kerfuffle earlier this week as the Navy decided to rename a ship that had been named for Harvey Milk, who was a gay activist who was killed in San Francisco. And has become an icon for the gay left. And there are some legitimate questions as to his background and whether or not it is appropriate to name a Navy ship after him. And of course, Wes Moore had to weigh in on all of this. I want to start with this, though. Here is Donald Trump talking about those recruiting numbers. Let's play cut number 19.
We just hit the highest number in the history of our country, we think, but very close, but the highest in the history of our country recruitment, joining the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, police forces all over the country.
What did you do for that? What was the reason?
Spirit. They love our country again. You're going to do the same thing.
Right, we can end that. And because they don't have to deal with all of this nonsense. They want to go and serve their country and not serve some ideological goal. Wes Moore weighs in, and the left loves Wes Moore. And he says he's not running. He's running. We all know he's running. Well, Whoopi Goldberg said something really interesting yesterday on The View. Let's go ahead and play cut number 20.
You know, you have someone like Wes Moore, who is a perfect candidate.
I love Wes Moore. Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love Wes Moore.
And people are saying, well, he, you know, you can't elect a black man. Why not?
Hell yeah.
What?
We did it.
Well, I'm just, but I'm saying.
What I like about Wes Moore, for example, he thinks outside of the box.
All right, no, he doesn't. I would defy whoever said that to give me an example of Wes Moore thinking outside the box anywhere politically. I would add that thinking outside the box would not get you elected, nominated president of the United States candidate on the Democratic Party. They don't want that. They want someone who thinks in lockstep with them. But, you know, this idea, Whoopi Goldberg saying that we can't elect a black man in America. What? I mean, no one is saying that, by the way, Whoopi, especially after Barack Obama was elected twice. No one is saying that. And I would even go and say that I was about to say the stupid person can't be elected president. I'm not so sure of that either. But today is the 81st anniversary of the D-Day invasion. And I thought it important to commemorate that. You know, Larry O'Connor, my colleague at one of the D.C. radio stations, I fill in for him on occasion. Larry O'Connor put out, you know, asked the question, what is the best representation? He said, what is the best D-Day movie? And he put Band of Brothers in there. And I didn't point out that, obviously Band of Brothers is not a movie. It's a series. And the various episodes of Band of Brothers that have to do with D-Day are head and shoulders above everything else, because they're all about D-Day. It's not some other story that's involved. Band of Brothers is great and very realistic, but it's a made-up story, you know, to serve some, you know, the author's purposes. Band of Brothers is about the Band of Brothers, and the purpose is talking about these men who serve together. We few, we happy few. So let's go here. Here is a newsreel from D-Day, or right after D-Day. Let's play cut 21.
The Atlantic Wall has been penetrated. There, after the first assault, the Allies clung precariously to a few beaches. But now they have a solid foothold on Fortress Europa. Men and material have poured onto the newly won beachheads with every favorable tide, and on some unfavorable ones. The Allied command has announced that the Battle of the Beaches is complete. The tremendous offensive was bitterly contested. The Nazis knew that each passing hour diminished their chances of throwing the Allies back into the sea. But the American, British, and Canadian troops pressed forward firmly onto the soil of France.
Now, of course, and that was just from the first minute of that newsreel. Now, of course, victory was not assured. Obviously, this newsreel, in the midst of World War II, is not going to talk about the uncertainty that existed, the various mistakes that were made, the chaos as the paratroopers were dropped in the hours before the invasion itself happened, you know, the glider failures that happened, et cetera, all of the things that went into it. And there's some of this in The Longest Day, which is a great movie, not taking anything away from that. The portrayal of real people in many instances, among them, being portrayed by John Wayne. Great cast. Absolutely astounding. But victory was not assured. And that's part of the reason why Band of Brothers is so wonderful in this, is because as they're pressing forward and trying to find a way into Germany to end the war, You're seeing the difficulties and the counteroffensives that were being created by the Germans. Obviously, we still study it deeply today, greatly today. But I also wanted to share the sentiments of Dwight David Eisenhower, who was the commander of the Allied forces and the leader of D-Day, you know, the planning with Montgomery and others for the invasion of Europe and what went into it. He sent out a message. Now, I edited this slightly for time, but here's what Ike had to say. Let's put cut 22.
Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck, and let us all beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking.
You know, at the end of the day, right, I don't ask for much. I really don't, out of leaders. But leaders who are able to articulate ideas in very simple and easy to understand phrases and can inspire people as a result of that. I mean, obviously, you know, Ike had very talented people working with him and very talented people who probably, you know, something I was about to say, a talented group of people will probably put together that message. But then again, it's entirely possible, and I should probably go back and look at this. It's entirely possible that Ike himself was responsible for the verbiage there, that there is a certain level of rhetorical education that these men had, these leaders had at the time, the ability to put together a lucid sentence in the English language. And what that's I crave that. I think we all do. Freedom. And it's a charge, by the way, that continues to this day. It's not limited to the Normandy invasion or the campaign in Europe to rid the Europe of the Nazis in World War II. It continued into the Cold War, and it continues today, this idea of safeguarding the rights of freedom-loving people, of protecting them. So that's what I ask you on this commemoration of D-Day, is to think about that and to take a step as you're talking with your friends and neighbors to recognize that we all should be fighting for the same thing. Fighting for freedom, fighting to make everybody a little bit more free and empowered in their lives. That's my sentiment on this anniversary of D-Day. And, you know, this brings us to the close of yet another Kim Klasick show. I want to thank Brian and the team at WCBM for their help, as always, in all of this. If you like what you hear, follow me on X at @Andrew_Langer. Follow the Andrew Langer Show, Facebook.com/AndrewLangerShow. I do my podcast, The Lunch Hour with Federal Newswire. That's all out there. My work at CPAC, CPAC.org, Center for Regulatory Freedom Coalition for Against Socialized Medicine. I'm Andrew Langer. Have a great weekend, everybody. Have fun and stay safe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and one of the owners at Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balanced care in Maryland for over 30 years.